Good morning. Please take your Bibles and stand with me as we turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. This morning we'll be reading verses 26 to 34. Thank you, Glenn. Mark chapter 4, verse 26 to 34. Mark chapter 4, verse 26 says this, "And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields crops of itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, he immediately puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Then he said, what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs, and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your precious word. And I just ask that you may bless us and encourage us and strengthen us, dear Father, as we study your word together. Lord, I just pray now that you would feed us and strengthen us. Transform us, O Father, by your truth. In all these things we pray, we thank you, and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As you know, we've been studying the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, and we learned that Jesus had begun to speak to the people in parables. Why? Because we learned that when it came to the leadership of Israel, they had rejected Jesus as their Messiah, as the King of Israel. And we learned in chapter 4 that Mark gives us an explanation. And it says in verse 11, "As the disciples came to him privately, he said to them in verse 11, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables." Why is that? He tells us right out of Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, "So that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." We learn that the reason why Jesus was sharing or speaking in parables was because there was a judgment upon the leadership and those who had rejected him. And we learn that at the same time, God was showing mercy. Because, beloved, the more we know, the more we are accountable to. And so he was blinding those who had already closed their own hearts and eyes and ears. And so we learned that he spoke to them in parables. And if you remember, he gave us also the parable of the different soils. Remember that? And he talked about the parable where the seed fell on the ground that was hard. It was about those who had a hardened heart. They rejected the word of Christ. And the birds came up and they took up the seeds. Remember that? Then he talked about the seeds that fell among the rocks, the shallow ground. These are the shallow people. They accept Christ for just a short time with great joy, but when persecution breaks out, they reject Christ. And then he talked about the seeds that fell among the thorns. The thorns represent the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches. And because of the worldliness in them, because they are a divided person, a worldly person, they do not produce any fruit. Then he talks about the good ground. So Jesus spoke to them in parables. And we learn that when he spoke to them in parables, if you look at Mark chapter 4, right before we hit 26, he began to speak to his own disciples. Remember that? And last week we spoke about this, that when it comes to the Word of God, specifically the Gospel of Jesus Christ, there is responsibility. And he talked about that a person takes a lamp, verse 21, and he doesn't put it under a bed, does he? or under a basket. No, you take the lamp and you put it in the room so everyone can have light. That's what we do with the Word of God, God's revelation. And we looked at other passages like Matthew chapter 5, where it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And beloved, if you have God's Word and you know the gospel of Christ, you're not to hide it, but you're to share it. You have a responsibility. And you and I need to get the Word out, beloved. And he began to share that with what measure we use, it's going to come back to us. Talking about sharing God's truth. And he goes on to share in verse 25, "For whoever has to him, more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has, or he thinks he has, will be taken away from him." God has given us light, hasn't he? He's given us his word. We know the gospel of Christ. We're to do something with it. First of all, we're to make sure that we receive it as God's holy word. Jesus came to this earth. He died, he was buried, and he resurrected. And those who put their trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord shall be saved. Have you done that? Very important. But if you have done that, if you know Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, we now have a responsibility. Because there are people dying all around us who do not know Jesus Christ. And God wants to use you as his messenger. Please understand this. This is so important. As we look at verses 26 all the way to 34, we learn that Jesus is now encouraging his disciples. And he's telling them that when it comes to the gospel, you and I can trust the gospel of Jesus Christ, that it will accomplish what God sets it out to accomplish. We don't have to worry. We don't go share the gospel and start biting our nails. I hope that person gets saved. And I just, you know, I'm just really hoping that maybe they'll come to Christ. God says here, don't worry about it. I am going to accomplish with my word what I set it up to do. To accomplish what God himself, the purpose that God has given his word, specifically the gospel. And so he gives us an analogy of a farmer. And then he gives us the analogy of the mustard seed. So let's look at that. He says in verse 26 to 27, let me just give you the outline very quickly. Number one, first of all, God calls us to be faithful. This is an overspill from verse 25. He calls us to be faithful. Verses 28 to 29, if we are faithful, we will be fruitful. And finally, he talks about the seed or the mustard seed, which is formidable. To what extent, in comparison to the tiny seed, we see this large tree or bush, really, it'd be called a bush. So look at these three things. Look at verses 26 to 27. Jesus now is speaking to his disciples to encourage them. I don't know about you, but I've gotten out sharing the gospel and I've gotten pretty discouraged. What about you? I remember going out in a neighborhood, knocking on doors when I was in Wilmington, California. And I remember that Saturday afternoon, I remember saying to the Lord, "Lord, nobody wants to hear. Nobody wants the gospel." And you almost feel like a failure. And I remember praying to God, grieving in my heart. And as I was walking down the sidewalk, I saw this garage door open. And, you know, it was already, the sun began to set. And I saw a young lady in there. She was doing the laundry. And I just went up to the garage. And I said, "Can I talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ?" And she said, "Okay." She was a young girl. She looked like she was about 18, 19 years old. And I began to share the gospel with her. I was just thankful I was able to share the gospel. Most people wouldn't even open the door for me. And I remember she said, "Can you share with me something in the Bible regarding worry?" And I went to Philippians chapter 4. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but with everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus." And I saw a tear start running down her face. I thought, wow, this girl's hurting. And I remember she came to church a couple of times, and I was trying to stay in contact with her, and she stopped coming, and I don't know what ever happened. As months passed, I got a phone call. She left a message on my phone in the office. She said, "Pastor Dan, I'm going to college right now, and I just want to let you know something. I truly accepted Christ as my personal Savior, and I just want to let you know that. And I just want to thank you." Thank you, Lord. Jesus wants to give confidence to His disciples that the confidence is not in themselves or in the flesh, but in the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Beloved, God calls us to be faithful to the message. And it's up to God. From that moment on, we can't cause the seed to germinate. We're not here to bite our nails, but we have to be faithful to the message of God. And beloved, as the Lord is encouraging His disciples, I want to encourage you. Be faithful to the message. The farmer simply plants. Look what it says here, verse 26 and 27. And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter the seed on the ground." And then what does he do? Does he stay there by the seed and does he lay there watching that seed? He doesn't have time for that. What does he do? What everybody else does. Verse 27. And says, "And should sleep by night and rise by day." By the way, this is a continuous sense. Sleeping and rising, no, sunset, sunrise, right? "And the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how." You don't see the farmer doing anything more. You don't see him being anxious. You see him being patient. In fact, whenever you see the scripture talking about a farmer, it's a picture of patience. The 2 Timothy chapter 2 says, the hard-working farmer. He's a man of patience. He's a man that works hard. And he doesn't know how it grows, but he waits for it. He simply plants the seed and he waits for the seed to grow on its own. He sleeps and he rises day and night and waits patiently. He's not anxious. He cannot cause the germination of that seed. Just as much as you cannot save anybody, friend. Only Jesus can save. But we are responsible with the message. Now I want you to go to a place that I'm always convicted with. Go with me to Matthew chapter 25, would you? Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 to 30. You all know this passage. This is a passage of responsibility. This is a passage of the faithful servant or the wicked servant. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. Jesus says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2. And to another 1, each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. And then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. Verse 17, likewise, he who had received gained 2 more also. But he who had received the 1 went, and what did he do? He dug in the ground, he hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and he settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and he brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them.' And his Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' He also had received 2 talents. Who had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them.' The Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. What did the Lord say to that man? But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servants. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I remember reading that as a little boy and thinking, boy, that's so harsh. Scary. But it shows you that this is a parable of responsibility. If you know the Lord and you have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, you and I have a responsibility to get that message out. We want to make sure that we are the good and faithful servant. There are only 2 categories, friends. Good and faithful, wicked and lazy. Which one are we? We have to make sure that we take what God has given us and we are faithful and we are responsible. Are you being responsible with that message? Or we need to be. Don't leave it up to the pastor. God wants to use you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. What does Paul say about himself and Apollos? We learn that this church in Corinth was a fractured church. Everybody was saying that they had their own spiritual heroes. Some were saying they were of Apollos, others of Peter, others of Paul. And we learn that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that Paul said, look, it is God who causes the increase. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 1. Paul is rebuking them. By the way, there are a lot of churches that want to be like the church in Corinth. Let me tell you something. The church in Corinth was a very carnal church. They may have had all the gifts, but let me tell you something. They didn't use them properly. That's why Paul had to write 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, because they were not using the gifts of God with love. So don't ever say, we want to be like the church in Corinth. No, you don't. They had some serious issues. And Paul was continuously rebuking them. Here's one of the areas. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal, behaving like mere men? Because they kept having this hero worship. Look at verse 5. Well, verse 4. For when one says, I'm of Paul, another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos but what? Ministers. What's another word for minister? Servants. That's all we are, he says. We're just servants through whom you believe as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. That's how it works, beloved. Verse 7. So that neither he who plants does anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. And so we see here that Paul is talking to them, saying, look, they're saying, I'm of Paul, or the others are saying, I'm of Cephas, or I'm of Apollos. And Paul says, look, we're nothing but servants of God. Yeah, I planted, Apollos watered, but the increase came from God. Jesus said, Upon this foundation, talking about what Peter had mentioned, I will build my church. Isn't that wonderful? Let me tell you, to every single pastor, that is wonderful news. I do not have to manipulate people and somehow get people in here by starting a rock band or maybe giving some money away, which people do that all the time, to get more people in here. Why? Because I'm going to get this church full of goats if I do that. But Jesus said, I will build my church. I don't think he wants competition with that. He simply wants us to be obedient. And so, beloved, God is the one that causes the increase. God is the one that blesses. But I want you to understand this. That this farmer was not anxious. Once he planted the seed, go back with me to Mark chapter 4. Once he planted the seed, he just left it there. That's all he can do. I'm sure he tilled the soil. I'm sure he did all that he could. But now the seed, it was up to now the seed and the soil. And he was not anxious. And neither should you and I be. Just simply pray for people. 1 Corinthians verse 1, chapter 1, verse 18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Isn't that what Paul said in Romans? That the gospel is the power of God unto salvation? So what is it we need to do? Share the gospel. Share the gospel. Tell others about Jesus. You might say, "Pastor, I just do not know how to do that." Then let's sit down. Let me show you how to do that. What about your testimony? How did you come to Christ? Now let's go back to verse 28. Matthew chapter 4, verse 28. We see the farmer. He does not know how it happens. Verses 26 and 27. Verse 27 says, How it should sprout and grow, he himself does not know how. God does. Look at verse 28 and 29. "For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." What is Jesus talking about? He's talking about souls. This is the analogy. He's talking about souls. And see that word where it says here in verse 28 that the earth yields crops by itself? That word "by itself" is the word we get "automatic" from. The seed germinates automatically. It's the word "automate." Automatically. The only time you see that word is when Peter, remember when he was in prison and the angel woke him up and he thought he was seeing a vision, and it says that the gate of the city opened on its own accord. That's the same word, automatically. The seed germinates automatically of its own accord. Pretty fascinating. Also, it's truly a blessing. All we can do, beloved, is just plant the seed. Plant the seed. It's a divine seed. And it grows automatically until the harvest. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says, "He who began a good work in you will continue" when? "Until the day of Christ Jesus." It just grows automatically. The farmer doesn't know, but when the harvest comes, he's blessed. He's blessed. Jesus here is calling the disciples to be faithful men. If they are faithful, if you are faithful to plant the seed, guess what? There's going to be fruit. There just is. It's nice to see it, right? To see the harvest. We're not always able to see the harvest. Some of us here are called just to be seed planters. You know what? That's okay with me. And I tell people, I don't know if I'm gifted as an evangelist. I probably am not a gifted evangelist. But one thing I can do is plant the seed. And that's what I want to do. Even if somebody else sees the harvest, at least I'm planting the seed. And beloved, be a faithful seed planter. Just do it. Share the gospel with people. And they may not right at that moment surrender their life to Jesus Christ. But you know what? That's okay. You have been obedient. You have been that good and faithful servant. with what God has given to you. I remember seeing a commercial, I told you guys this a long time ago, and probably even more recently than that. I remember seeing a commercial, and it was about this cult giving this commercial. And it sounds just like a Christian commercial. Our Heavenly Father has a message for you. And we want to give you this Bible and everything. And it was a cult. I remember grieving in my heart, saying, Lord, how can I compete with that? These people are reaching millions. Deceiving people. And then God's word came to my heart. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Thank you, Lord. Beloved, you have to be assured of that. We just have to be faithful seed planters. We cannot cause any seed to germinate. We cannot save anybody, but God saves. And He uses His Word and the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, let's be faithful, beloved. Let's be faithful. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 55, would you? This is the passage I was just sharing with you earlier. By the way, this passage is a passage of repentance. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 through 11. Go back in the Old Testament of Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 6 says this. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and He will have mercy on him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. This is Isaiah speaking to the southern kingdom because they have gone into idolatry. But he says, if you seek the Lord, He will be found by you. If you repent. Look at verse 8. How can God forgive in this way? Look at verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Doesn't that make you glad? If God were just like us, we would be doomed. But praise God, His thoughts are far much greater than mine. His thoughts are not my thoughts. His ways are not my ways. Praise God for that. He's smarter than I am. Greater than I am. Verse 10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Look at verse 11. So shall what? So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void or empty, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I send it. People need the gospel, beloved. They need God's word. Don't worry about what's going to happen with it after that. It's going to accomplish what God has set it out to accomplish. Whether it be salvation or judgment, it's going to accomplish what God sets it out to accomplish. We just have to be faithful to the word. Specifically, with the gospel of Christ. God's word is productive. One way or the other, it's going to produce. It shall not return to him void. Praise God for that. But what he calls us to be is faithful. Faithful in sharing the word. John chapter 4, go with me there. Remember Jesus in the Gospel of John chapter 4? He talked to the woman at the well. Remember that? Jesus was sitting in Samaria. It was the end of the day. He was exhausted. He sits on the well. Here comes this woman. She has a water pot. She sees Jesus. She recognizes him. She sees the garment he's wearing. It's the garment of a Jewish rabbi. She sees him. She starts getting water. She's excited. There's no talking. And Jesus says to her, give me a drink.
She's like, how is it you're talking to me? First of all, men don't talk to women in public this way. And then you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, we have nothing to do with each other. How is it you're even talking to me? Jesus didn't care about the mores of the day. But rather, it was his way of sharing the gospel with this woman. And so he began to share with her that if she had knew who was speaking to her, that he can give her living water. Living water, by the way, is running water, like in a stream. But Jesus is talking about supernatural water. And he began to share the gospel with her. This woman gets so excited, she takes off and goes to tell the people in her village about Jesus. Look at John chapter 4, verse 27. John chapter 4, verse 27. What is Jesus up to? You know what he's up to. He's after souls. He's after souls. Yes, the Samaritans were not full-blooded Jewish. They were half Jew. But he is after their souls as well. It says in verse 27, at this point the disciples came because they left him. They went to the city to get food. And they marveled that he talked to a woman, yet no one said, what do you seek or why are you talking to with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all the things I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Or in their language, the Messiah? Then they went out to the city. They went out of the city and they came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. We know you're hungry. We know you're exhausted. Come on. You know, Jesus' heart was so full at that time. He was so happy. And he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Now listen very carefully what he says to his disciples. Do you not say that there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? He's talking about the physical harvest, right? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. By the way, it is believed that as they lift up their eyes, they can see droves of people coming to Jesus. By the witness of that Samaritan woman. And he says, lift up your eyes, guys. I want you to see with the spiritual eyes. I want you to see the harvest. So he says, behold, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this a saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. What is Jesus talking about? He's talking about lost souls. That woman was like fruit off the ground. She was ready for the Messiah. She was ready for the gospel of Christ. And here they come to Jesus. And Jesus says, look, here comes the harvest. Lift up your eyes, guys. Harvest is white right now. Beloved, you might have a neighbor. They need the Lord. Or a co-worker. They need Christ. But they need you. God wants to use you to share the gospel with them. Please understand that God wants to use us. The harvest truly is plentiful. The harvest is when someone comes into the kingdom. They become a part of the kingdom of God. Paul says in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 10 verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The word of God. How are your neighbors or your friends going to hear if you don't tell them the gospel? You going to wait for somebody else to share the gospel with them? What about you? Don't be shy. Do not be ashamed of the gospel. We were talking about that this morning. We're talking about how can a person please God? Remember, I can't remember the exact question. How can we glorify God? How can we please God? And one person said, and I'm not going to embarrass her. She said, by going out and sharing the gospel.
lives. Yeah.
That's one great way. And I'd say that's at the top of the list. So Jesus is sharing with them, the disciples, go back with you in Mark chapter 4, not to shame them, beloved. Not to so much convict them, but to tell them that when they are faithful and they share the message, it's like a farmer that plants a seed, doesn't know how it grows, but automatically by itself, it begins to grow. First the blade, then the head, then the full grain. What Jesus is saying is when you go out and you plant, there's going to be a harvest. Do you realize that when Jesus ascended into heaven, do you realize how many disciples were left in Jerusalem? You thought, oh, there must have been millions of people. Jesus was such a successful teacher. Yes, he was. He was a successful teacher. And when he preached the gospel, so many people heard. Do you know how many disciples were in that little room? Do you remember? 120. Like, what happened to the masses? What happened to the millions? Oh, the harvest has not come in yet. By the time that Peter gets up on the pulpit and begins to preach, there is a harvest of 3,000 souls. And that was just the beginning. What was Jesus doing? He was preparing. He was throwing the seeds out everywhere he could. Teaching at the lake shore. Teaching at the temple. Wherever Jesus went, he was throwing the seeds out. And he said to his disciples, you're going to do greater works than these. He was talking about the harvest. Did Peter see the harvest? Yes, he did. So did Paul. But Peter and the disciples, they saw a harvest coming in. God is faithful, isn't he? And his word is true. And his word will not come back void. Beloved, just be faithful with the message of the gospel. Leave the results to God. Leave the results to God. Go back with me in Mark chapter 4. Let's look at verses 30-34. Jesus talking to the masses again to encourage his disciples, he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like what? A mustard seed. Now, the mustard seed is not the smallest seed on the earth, but it is the smallest seed that they're familiar with at that time that they would plant. One of the herbs they used. By the way, I heard that mustard seeds, they're really spicy. I don't know, maybe God wants us to be spicy, I'm not sure. But he's talking about the comparison here is how small that seed is and how big of a bush it grows. That's the way the kingdom of heaven is. It starts off really small, you know. You had only 120 disciples in Jerusalem, and suddenly it went from 3,120 disciples. And then from there it went on to another 2,000. You know what I mean? It started off small. And Jesus began to share with us when it comes to the kingdom of God, when it comes to the gospel, we may start off small. Don't be discouraged. We're a small church, aren't we? I'm not discouraged. The Lord uses small packages, doesn't he? You know, people think, well, you know, if your church is big, you're successful. Really? Not in God's eyes. In God's eyes, a successful person is a faithful person. A faithful person. And so we want to look at that. Are we being faithful? Jesus says here, it starts off small. What shall we like in the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It's like a mustard seed, which when it is sown in the ground is smaller than all the seeds on the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air might nest under its shade. And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And you remember why. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. Jesus gives us a comparison. It's interesting that he mentions how it becomes a big tree, you know, and the birds. Because that gives you a picture of something that they're familiar with in the Old Testament. We learn that God one day is going to bless Israel. It's speaking about how God's going to cause it to flourish. Go with me to Ezekiel chapter 17, would you? Ezekiel, keep your finger in Mark there. If you can find Daniel, it's right before Daniel. Ezekiel chapter 17. Starting in verse 22 to 24. It's a messianic passage that we're talking about here. Again, Jesus here is writing to encourage his disciples to be faithful, to be soul winners. He gives them the parable of the mustard seed as a comparison of starting off small, but growing enormously. As I mentioned before, the seed was the smallest seed that they were familiar with when it came to planting in their gardens. The people that knew the prophets knew about this analogy. In Ezekiel 17, look at verses 22 to 24. Ezekiel 17, verse 22 says, "Thus says the Lord, I will take also one of the highest branches of the high cedar and set it out. And I will crop off the top most of its young twigs, a tender one, and will plant it on a high and prominent mountain." It is believed that he's talking about high when it comes to the ranking. Possibly talking about the royal line of David. Look at verse 23. "And he's going to plant it on the mountain." It says, "And on the mountain height of Israel, I will plant it. And it will bring forth" what? Boughs. Boughs are branches, right? "And bear fruit. And be a majestic cedar. Under it will dwell" who? "Birds of every sort. And the shadow of its branches they will dwell." What is he talking about? This tree, this cedar is going to be so magnificent and so huge that all the nations will come and find shade in this great tree. "And all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree and exalted the low tree, dried up the green tree and made dry the tree, made the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it." He's talking about the restoration of Israel. God's going to cause it to flourish once again. Go with me to Daniel, the next book over. Daniel was talking to Nebuchadnezzar. And as Daniel was describing the magnificence of Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, he talks about the birds coming and nesting under its branches. Daniel chapter 4, look at verse 10. Nebuchadnezzar had a vision of this great tree, and it was, in a sense, God speaking to Nebuchadnezzar that he needs to give the glory to God. And it's God who exalts, and it's God who humbles. Look at verse 10 of Daniel chapter 10. Excuse me, Daniel chapter 4, verse 10. "These were the visions of my head while on my bed," as Nebuchadnezzar is talking to Daniel. "I was looking, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth. And its height was great. The tree grew and became strong. Its height reached to the heavens, and it could be seen to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were lovely, its fruit abundant, and in it was food for all." What's this talking about? Talking about Babylon. This is a great reign of Babylon. And it says, "And there was food for all, and the beasts of the field found shade under it." And what else? "The birds of the heavens dwelt in its branches." Talk about all the nations. "And all flesh was fed from it. I saw in the vision of my head." Okay, we'll stop there. So you see here that even in Daniel, when he talks about a flourishing tree and birds coming under it, it was a picture of a tree just really just growing up and being so massive and flourishing so much that even the birds come. That's what Jesus is talking about. When it comes to the kingdom of heaven, it starts off so small. But there's going to be a day when the tree, this tree that's been planted, is going to grow so magnificent and so great that all the nations of the earth will come. Like the birds. And make their resting place in the boughs of this great tree. What's he talking about? He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. Here specifically, you know what he's talking about when Christ comes and reigns on the earth. All the birds of the air will come and nest under its shades. So we see that the kingdom of heaven, those who have come to Christ and put their trust in Christ as Lord and Savior, have become a part of the spiritual kingdom, haven't they? But there's going to be a time where this small kingdom, as it starts off, is going to be a great kingdom. Ultimately, the eternal kingdom. And as I mentioned before, when Jesus ascended on the Mount of Olives, when he ascended on high to the right hand of the Father, there are not a million people looking at him. There are not even thousands. There were not even hundreds. There was just 120 people. And he thought, that is so small. Yet how many Christians are there now? How many people have come to faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior today? And over the generations? Millions, right? Hopefully. And so, beloved, he gives us that analogy. Jesus said, I will build my church. But what is our part? We have to be faithful to the message. So, he gives us these two analogies, really specifically to his disciples, to encourage them. Nobody can save anyone. Only Jesus can. Now, let me just close with this. Let me simply ask you this. This is so vital and so important. Is the message of the gospel a priority in your life? And if it isn't, if the gospel and the message of the gospel is not a priority in your life, your priorities are not Christ's priorities. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And if that was Christ's priority, it must be our priority. And so, beloved, you have to make it a priority in your life. Because that's what God left us here for, to come and to share with others. Without the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's no hope, there's no salvation, no relationship with God, no forgiveness of sin. The priority in your life needs to be the gospel of Jesus Christ. We busy ourselves with so many things, don't we? We're so busy with work. We're so busy with entertainment. We're so busy with everything else, but we're not busy in the gospel. Why is that? If sharing the gospel is not a priority in your life, as I mentioned before, you're not sharing the same priority that Christ has. We need to make sure that we have the same priorities as Jesus Christ. A person who has, the Bible says this. The Son of Man, as I mentioned before, came to seek and to save that which was lost. A person who has never put their trust in Jesus Christ or never repented, that person is considered lost. Let me ask you, do you know lost people? We're surrounded by people who are lost. We need to share the gospel with them. Well, let me ask you this question. Are you lost? Have you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior? The Word of God says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. We want people to be found, don't we? Jesus came into this world to save sinners. We have to make sure we get that word out. And if you have never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to understand that Jesus came into this world to save sinners. But we first have to admit that we are sinners. We have to understand that God is holy and He's going to judge. And that's a problem today. Everyone starts off and they start talking about God and they start talking about the love of God when they don't talk about the holiness of God and the judgment of God. God is holy and He's going to judge sinners. But we also learn that God sent Jesus into this world to save sinners. That is by His grace and His mercy. And the Bible calls every man, every woman to repent and put their trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Have you done that? Well, we need to do that, don't we? We need to do that. You do not want God's justice. You want God's mercy. You want God's mercy. If we get God's justice, we are doomed. We want God's grace and God's mercy. And I just encourage you to put your trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord. We're going to stop here and we're going to get ready for the Lord's table. Before that, let's pray, and then Glenn, you can have a song for us. All right. Let's stay seated and let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father, I thank You for Your word, and Lord, I thank You for the assurance that, Lord, we're to be like the patient farmer. But we also learn in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that He's called the hard-working farmer. That means that He spreads out a lot of seed. Lord, please help us to be prepared to share the gospel with others. Thank You, Lord, for those who are here who are faithful, who are able to share the gospel with others. Prepare us, dear Father, help us that the gospel message will be the priority in our lives, not our own desires and pleasures, but the gospel. Please bless us now, dear Father, we pray, and we ask that You prepare our hearts as we think about the cup and the bread. These things we pray and we thank You and we ask in Jesus' name.